And we're live.
Welcome to the Daily Hi-Fi Podcast. We do this every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, and I guess 8 p.m. over there, Decatur Boy.
That's right.
Bam. With me, as always, we've got Mr. Joe Intel, and we've got Aaron from Aaron's Audio Corner, and I am Chana, a.k.a. Techno Dad. Tuning in from the car. Last week I was tuning in from a plane. Now I'm in a car.
That's right.
Yeah. Next week it'll be a train, right? Plane, automobile.
We already did the boat.
I'm on a boat.
That's right. You did the boat, and you've done Disneyland a bunch of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
a little bit under the weather, so my energy level's not like normal. So you guys will actually be able to get a word in once in a while.
That's unacceptable.
Nobody wants to hear it.
I quit. If you're not talking, I quit.
She doesn't want to hang out with me. Oh, by the way, I have some great clips that are going to go into my Axpona recap video of you doing some silly stuff.
Uh-oh. It makes me nervous.
It was so much fun, man. I can't believe how much fun we had.
Yeah, we had a good time, man.
Yeah.
I'm very glad that
And Tim, we are sorry, bro. We are sorry, Tim. We are sorry.
Wow.
Because we kind of like, you know, got under his skin a little bit, you know?
What'd you guys do?
He was getting hangry on us.
Oh, yeah, like, definitely was getting hangry.
Like, we didn't eat until like eating? 2 or something, right?
Yeah. No, there was definitely that.
He's like, we got to eat. Dang, dude. Why you got to be so angry all the time? He's like, you won't like me when I'm angry. He did. Can't say I got hungry. You got to say I got hangry, Tim.
I did get hungry. See?
What's up, Marv? We see I see K-Man, Reverend Slim, Tim Perry, of course. Who else we got
Reed,
in here?
I see Reed.
Reed is in here. Chris Hamilton, Ohm Audio Channel, Michael Squires.
Oh.
I see you guys. There's Reed.
What's up, everybody? What are we talking about today? Y'all got any topics? I don't even know.
I got a couple topics. Let's talk about the amazing trailer. Deadpool and Wolverine.
Deadpool? Yeah. Yeah, that looks awesome, man. I'm excited about that.
Fantastic.
I can't wait, man. I'm like, yes. Inject it straight into my veins.
Did you see it yet, Joe? Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did. Actually, it just keeps showing up in my feed. It just keeps getting recommended from all different, like, I guess they think I'm going to like it, so.
Yeah. What did you guys think in the chat?
Yeah. What did you guys think? I watched Dune 2. Did I mention that last week?
No, you mentioned it in the chat.
Oh. Sound is so good. Everything's good about it. That was awesome. Ryan Reynolds might save Marvel from their recent run of crap.
Yeah. They have had some pretty crappy movies lately.
Yeah, some of them are weird. Like, I didn't even bother watching some of them.
Like, I took my daughter to see The Marvels, which was all right, you know? It's just like all of them kind of slipped. The Ant-Man 3 was not really good. What else was there? The Loki series, to me, is like the only thing that they've really done good in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Josh mentions your favorite one. Chana, Rebel Moon 2 is not good at all.
Is it not?
Not good at all? Surprise, surprise. I don't want to be a dick, but.
I never saw the first one. Everybody was saying that the first one was terrible, so I was like, I'm not even going to bother.
Yeah. It had some fantastic LFE and no Atmos, but. I mean, it was an Atmos track, but. Not a whole lot of Atmos, but they had a really good use of LFE. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, Mars says Fallout was nice. That's so I don't know anything about the video game, but that's caught my attention because a lot of people have talked about it.
Is that a theory? Is that a series or a movie?
I think it's it's a series. But I've seen a lot of good chatter about it, so I might put that on my queue. Man, Amazon has a lot now that are very interesting. Like, they're more like financial type movies. So there's two movies about the big housing market crisis. One is called The Big Short, and the other one is called Margin Call. Both of those are on Amazon Prime. Those are really good. And there's another one called Company Men with Ben Affleck in it. And I'm trying to remember the era that one's based around. Like, it might be based around the whole housing market collapse, but basically dude loses his job and it's like him going through it and his family struggle and stuff. Anyway, that's good. So Margin Call, The Company Men, and The Big Short are all really good movies on Amazon Prime right now. If you're into like a serious kind of movie.
Is that what you're into lately? Like financial stuff?
I just like those movies. I still don't understand it. I still don't understand The Big Short or Margin Call. And I'm like, somebody explain this to me like I'm 10. And then I'll Google all the stuff like shorting and how that works. And I'm like, okay, I get it. And then I'll get it for like 3 days and then I forget it again. So I have no idea what I just watched.
Yeah. But if it's good, that must be good then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
is it like Boiler Room? Is it like that?
I love Boiler Room.
But it's more real. I've seen Boiler Room. I like that too. But it's based on like the events that actually. So The Big Short has Ryan Gosling in there. It has Christian Bale in there.
Really?
It has the dude who plays Steve Carell is in it. There's other people in it too. I can't remember. Anyway, both of those are good movies. Oh yeah, Dumb Money. That's a good one as well. I just watched that one last month, I guess. Yeah, that was good.
I gotta write these down.
Yeah, they're pretty good, man. You should check them out. They're not like, oh my God, I can't believe I have lived my whole life without seeing these, but they're good movies.
What was the third one you said? Big Short, Margin Call.
Margin Call, The Big Short, and Company Men.
Company Men.
Yeah, they're pretty good. All right. Check them out. Let me know what you think.
All right.
Yeah.
What is it? What are you saying over there, Tim? Brewster's Millions?
Brewster's Millions. Oh my gosh. What about Punky?
Oh man,
Billions is an awesome show.
Billions. I don't watch stuff like that because I'll never have anything close to that.
No.
Yeah.
I have a topic that I want to discuss.
Do it.
So somebody mentioned Magic Beans in AV Forum.
Uh-oh.
I guess that's more like a UK one, right?
Okay.
UK based AV forum. It's not AVS forum. It's AV forum.
Okay.
And so I just went in there and just kind of like, I had an account already because I've responded to other things. And so I went in there just to kind of clarify some stuff that was like factually incorrect about about how it works, right? I wasn't there to promote.
So basically you were telling them that no, you don't put them in the ground and a giant beanstalk.
Yeah.
Is that what they were saying?
So, you know.
Close.
Anyway, I thought it was just like, hey, you know, that's kind of cool sometimes when you get insight from the person who actually made it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People who actually made it, then you can clarify, okay. But at no point did I make any claims like, oh, this is going to make it sound awesome. I'm just saying, no, this is actually what it does, things like that. And so I was responding to people. I thought, you know, thought that was a good idea. But then all of them got deleted. Then I got a message saying, yeah, you're violating rule number 7. So what's rule number 7, right?
And basically,
well, it says if you're a manufacturer or like a company that you have to advertise in order to like respond.
Really?
It's right there. You can look it up. It's like in plain sight. It's not like they're trying to hide it. I just never heard of that. So I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think about it? So, you know, I would have been somewhat interested. You know, I have a new app. I would be interested in some kind of, you know, different forms of advertising. So it's not like I was against it, but just the fact, like, why delete all the comments, though? Like, that's not a good way to start.
Yeah, right. If they want you to pay, they want you to pay for something. Well, they're going to just delete your comments. They should have just sent you a message and be like, hey, by the way, you want to advertise your thing here. Here's the ABC XYZ.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of weird. Like, the one link was, I was talking about moving mic method. That's not specific to my app. You know, anybody can do that.
Yeah.
And then I linked to Charles Sprinkle's AES white paper. You know, that's, to me, that's useful information, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought it was super weird. I'm like, I wonder what people think about that. Like, is that a good way to go, you know, for a company like that? I don't know. I understand. Yeah. You gotta make money, but it just felt a little bit weird.
So they want you to pay to basically advertise with them, then that's what they would consider advertising, right? Like, or self-promotion, yeah, or whatever.
But before he answers the comments, or right, to be allowed to answer comments, he has to advertise. That's kind of weird.
The thing that I thought is weird is, what if somebody's there saying all kinds of things that are wrong?
Right. Yeah. And, yeah. To me, that would be, that's the tough part, right? You know, like, on one hand, I can kind of understand where they're like, well, we don't want to charge our viewers and our contributing members, so we'll charge vendors. Like, I've seen other forums do it, and I kind of get it. I've been moderator on a couple forums that do it, and it's like, okay, yeah, I guess that's all right. But at the same time, you know, what do you do about what you're saying when somebody is making stuff up? They have no idea how your product works, and they're saying these things, and you're like, well, I don't want to have to pay $20 just to set somebody straight and then bail back out again. Like, I shouldn't have to pay $20 to correct somebody.
I'm guessing it's not $20.
Yeah, well, probably, I guess zeros. That makes it even worse. 20, that tells you what my limit is. I'm willing to pay up to 20 and I'm out after that. 20. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they should do that. So here's a recommendation to them. $20 like each post, each response.
Oh no, $1 for each response. I meant like $20 max. Like a month.
20 max, he's saying.
Yeah, okay. No, $20 for a lifetime. If I'm coming in, how about, I don't have a signature, I don't reference anybody in my website, I just come in and say, hey, I am the owner, I'm the CEO, I'm the inventor, whatever, of this thing. Mm-hmm. Let me explain to you how it works. And I think that should be okay.
Yeah.
Or, hey, dude, you can always just threaten litigation. It's not suing. It's just it's getting lawyers together to talk.
No, just but talking. No, and just make sure, Joe, that there's no feet on the website.
If you've got feet, you got to make sure you plug those holes.
Well, I see.
It's okay if I say it. It's okay if I say it.
Oh, man. Anyway, just kind of curious what you guys thought and what people in the comments.
What does Amir do for Audio Science Review? Because I know that he has that where vendors will pay a fee to be able to post on there, and I think that's fine too. But I'm curious what he does.
He's let me respond to people. I just say straight up from the beginning, I'm trying to respect the Amir and what he's doing here, and obviously he doesn't want it to be a place where I'm promoting myself.
Yeah,
or what we're doing. So I'm going to just try to keep it so, like, you can ask direct questions, but if somebody's interested, what can you do, right? Like, if they're interested in asking a question, it is promotion in a sense, right? Because if you're talking about it, then that's promotion.
Yeah, but, I guess, but they're promoting it too, right? So are you going to charge the people who are talking about your, like, are they going to charge the people who are talking about your product for promoting your product too?
Yeah,
that's where the gray area is. Like, it sounds like they've established their boundary. Here's their line in the sand, and they're saying, all right, this is it. So
if you're a manufacturer, you gotta pay to play.
Yeah. Right. Well, I told them, I just emailed back and I messaged there. I said, hey, I want to respect this forum. I don't have to be here. I kind of got dragged in here, right? It's not like I created a new post. That's totally different.
Right.
Like, if you're talking about something that I spent 2 years on, I don't want to talk about it, right? Like, I want to make sure that what's being said is accurate.
Yeah.
That's basically just I like to give insight into what's happening, but I think it could be a little bit more tactful than that.
What the fuck happened here?
I would agree.
No. 2, 3, 4.
Wouldn't they want to pay you to answer questions about your own product? Yeah. You know, on Reddit, they have those AMAs, and those are pretty popular. Where you go in there and then the manufacturer goes and answers a bunch of questions, right?
Yep.
I was going to do one on my YouTube channel, but I think it would just, like, go left real quick.
AMA.
Yeah, people be asking about drama and my divorce and like all kinds of other stuff. I'd be like, okay, don't ask me anything.
Yeah, not anything. Anything related to what I'm doing on the channel.
Yeah. Oh, how about Dama? We could do a Dama. Don't ask me anything.
Don't ask me anything. Yeah, just you'll just start a live stream and you'll sit there and stare at the camera for like an hour. Then you'll just turn it. All right. Well, it was good staring at y'all. Bye.
Did you review anything new, Aaron?
Me? No.
Released publicly.
Yeah, I did the Dayton Opal ones. I did review those. I put that out last week. Yeah, last week.
Those are interesting. I love seeing a small speaker with a huge surround. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Like, hilarious to me.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I was actually kind of curious. Like, I wonder how much diffraction is coming off of that surround. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I was really kind of curious about that, but I was thinking, like, I don't know of a way to measure that, you know, other than inserting like a blank, you know, into that cabinet and then measuring it without just measuring the tweeter.
Just right? The tweeter. Just I was going to say.
Yeah. Like blank, fill in that hole, put a blank over that and then measure it with the woofer on there. Because that's a big old honking surround, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I'm sending those back. I don't know. Like, you know how that is, man. Sometimes you don't know if a company's going to be like, send it back, or if they're just going to be like, nah, don't bother. Like, they let me keep that Dayton HTA 200, the hybrid thing. So I posted up on Patreon a couple of days ago and do like a giveaway with that. But I think they're going to want the Opals back. Otherwise, I'll give those. I don't, man. You've said this. Both of you guys have said this, and I've run into this in another YouTuber's video I was watching a few days ago, actually, and he was saying, like, these manufacturers send me all this stuff to review. It's a photography channel, and he said, and you know, I know a lot of people think like that they're paying me to review their products, and they aren't, but they are letting me keep it. And he's like, but I don't have room for this stuff. Like, I don't want this stuff, you know, like, he's like, and I could sell it, but I just don't. And I'm like, I agree with you, you know, like, my daughter told me, you should sell it. And I'm like, well, I feel like I explained to her. Like, it kind of gets into a weird situation. Like, if I'm giving something for free and then I turn around and sell it and make money off of it, then it's a weird, I'm just like, I'd rather just give it away and not deal with it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And also, you know, people always say, hey, why don't you just sell it? That's like the number one thing. Oh, dude, you should just sell that stuff. Yeah. And truth is, like, that also is work. I don't know that I want to. What am I going to do? Take pictures
of it somewhere?
Like, yeah. Then I got to meet somebody. You know, they got to come over. I don't want to do all that.
Back alley deal.
I want to do that.
It's just easier to get rid of it. It's like, all right, cool. You want it? Put your name on a list. I'll do a random draw, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. I did sell some stuff, but it was like stuff that was so old, like years and years old.
Yeah.
Like, this is really, really old, and they have not asked for it back.
Yeah.
And when I had my event, I just said, okay, I have a bunch of stuff that please take it. I don't even just say a price. I don't even care, but like, take it home.
Yeah.
You can tell me pretty much any price. So.
I've run into that with, if Chris Walker from ELAC is watching, I have emailed him a couple, probably two or three times now. I'm like, they loan me out some speakers, and I'm like, I'll send them back to you now. Because I don't need them. And I'm about to move. I really don't want to have to take them with me to another house. You know, like, if you don't want them, I'll give them away to a patron or something. But it's the thing, too, is they've been discontinued, right? Like, it's a speaker that's been discontinued. So, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, I've run into that, too.
Huh? They were trying to get rid of them, so they sent them to you.
That's exactly why.
This guy stuck with them.
Yeah, it took me, like, 3 months to get around to reviewing them, too. Now, that didn't help.
I mean, I got the subs from Joe. Like, they were just sitting in his house, and he's like, here, just take these. And then I made a video, and so I don't know. Now they're just there.
You got two videos. You got two reviews out of that.
Yeah, you did. No. ELAC did.
Oh, okay. All right.
They sent Joe the pair of subs, and then I made a review as well. Pretty capable subs.
Croissant says it's a tax write-off by giving them away. Great. Now people are going to accuse me of just giving stuff away so I can get a tax write-off. Oh, here we go. The internet's coming after me now. Pitchforks out.
Dude, you really can't win, can you, Aaron? You need to find a new corner, buddy. You need to find a new corner.
Oh, man, my corner's going to be a dark alley. And it's going to smell like piss.
Oh, what?
Because I'm going to stand back there and just pee all the time.
And have all these, like, equipment boxes from all this audio company.
No, dude. I'm gonna have the boxes, but there's going to be nothing in them. Alley
for the best deal in AV equipment.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'll have the boxes, but I won't have the stuff that's in them anymore. I'll just have thrown that away. They'll be like, oh, man, the so-and-so speakers, these are worth, like, $300. Like, yeah, dude, and they're really light. Here's the box. Have fun carrying this off with you, loser.
But the one company that you really want them to just leave the speakers there, they're not going to do it, are they?
No, yeah. Kef, yeah. I was hoping Kef was just going to let me keep the blade. I emailed them a couple weeks ago, and, you know, they gave me a price, and it's kind of like the typical, what's the word I'm looking for? Accommodation? Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like the same thing you get if you work at a Best Buy, right? Like, I'm affiliated with the industry, you get a discount, right? And so I told them, let me think on it, and then I decided, like, I'm in the middle of buying a house. I just can't do it, even though I really want to. So I emailed them back last week, and I hadn't heard back until today. But this whole time, I'm like, are they just, like, have they forgotten? And do I reach out again? Like, maybe I don't let them know that I've still got your $28,000 speakers, but he emailed me today. He's like, okay, I'll schedule pickup for Monday. I was like, damn it.
No.
Oh,
boo.
Boo.
You're just hoping. Yo, you'd be like, yo, I got to move after the move, though. So just leave them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll work something out.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Reed says, ghost them. I totally should. Sorry, Kef. I've not been getting any of your emails, your phone calls, or just going straight to voice. I'm letting y'all know this is my public service announcement. You know, I've tried, but I guess they're just going to stay with me. And you guys won't know my new address because I'm moving in a week or two. So, you know, whatever. Good luck following me.
You know
what they're going to do? They're going to email and be like, hey, we've got this brand new speaker. Would you like to review it? And they're going to be lying just to get my new address. So then come to my house and get the blades. And I'm like, nope, I'm not interested. And I'm not giving you my address.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron. Silly.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm sending those back Monday and I'm bummed. And I'm also bummed that I've got to pack them up because they're so freaking big and awkward. You know, like if it's a 70-pound bookshelf speaker, fine. A 70-pound tower speaker, or even a 50-pound tower speaker. It's different because it's so awkward, you know?
Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt to put those back in the box.
And then you don't want to damage it either, right?
Oh, yeah. Man, this one's gloss, too, which makes it even scarier.
What is the foam that they use in that? Is it like the one that breaks or the soft foam that's...
It's like that squishy kind of foam stuff. Plasticky.
That's what I kind of complained about that in the Kef KC92. It's like the cheap foam. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'd have to go double check. That's just still in the box. And I take them all apart, put everything back in the box so I don't lose it.
I'm always worried when that stuff is broken already.
Yeah.
You know, you get the stuff and the styrofoam is broken, and then you go to send it back. You're like, I take a picture. I'm like, I don't know if this is going to survive, I'll be honest.
Yeah, so, that's a good call. How many times in total, like how much time in total of your life as a reviewer do you think you have spent staring at a box, the foam and the speakers, and being like, all right, how did I get this thing out of here? Like, how do I put this back together? I've lost a lot of hours.
Dude, you think speakers are bad? TVs, bro. TV.
Oh.
I got to undo the feet and then figure out how. I got to watch my unboxing video just to figure out how all the pieces fit in that stupid TV box.
I did that with that Dayton amplifier. I found somebody's like pictures of them taking it out of the box, and I was like, okay, this is how it goes. And it's, you know, it's just two pieces of foam, but I was like, how does this go back together?
Sometimes it's tricky.
What do you think the UPS guy thinks every time you come back?
Oh, man.
What are they thinking?
Those people hate me. And then, man, I've got Tad, T-A-D, is sending me some stuff out, and they are delivering it tomorrow via freight, which is terrible timing. You know, if it had been like 2 weeks from now, I could have had them deliver it to my new house.
New house.
But they have a trade show in June, and they were like, if we go ahead and send them to you now, do you think you can get them back to us by June? And I was like, it'll be cutting it close, but yeah, I can do that. But the weight on the shipment says it's 310 pounds. And I'm like, what? Like, what do they send me? How am I going? What am I going to? I'm gonna have to call in help. My friend runs a CrossFit gym. I'm gonna have to get him to get all his CrossFit buddies come and lift this thing for me.
You're like, so, help!
There's just multiple drivers in there, probably. Like,
it's the it's supposed to be the TAD Reference One bookshelf. Let me look this thing up real fast.
300-pound bookshelf? Damn.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It says the entire freight shipment is 310 pounds, but I'm like. Oh, does it come with stands? Maybe that's what it is. I'll bring it up here on the screen real fast. Maybe it's including the stands. Because I thought the drivers themselves were like maybe 90 pounds, if that.
The drivers are 90 pounds?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, not the drivers. The speakers, not the drivers. Oh. Sorry.
I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
No, yeah.
Those aren't Andrew Jones designed ones, or are they?
I think it might be, actually. I was going to reach out to him and ask him once I got him in. But, yeah, that's them. Let me see what they say the weight of these things are. Because like I said, man, that... Dude, each one of them is 101 pounds. Good God.
Bookshelves?
Yeah.
Dude. That sucks to be you.
Dude.
Those look cool, though.
Are you going to put that on the Clipple? Will the Clipple hold it?
Yeah, the Clipple will hold it. That Clipple can hold hundreds of pounds if it needs to. Man, my back is going to be the problem. But at least it's a bookshelf, you know, like... Like I said earlier, bookshelves that are heavy, that's okay. Tower speakers that are heavy is another thing, because you got to stand the tower speaker up on top of a 4.5 foot tall platform, and that's just something all together. Can I find better pictures? Let me see if I can find better pictures. Are they really angled? This can't be. No, this is the bookshelf. This is the tower speaker. Yeah, I can't find a better picture. Anyway.
I've had to do a video of a bookshelf speaker that was all metal, and that thing was super heavy. I was worried for my finger.
The Moan or Mona? Mon?
Yeah, I just made a video.
The ones that like everybody says are like the greatest thing ever, but I'm looking at it like I can tell by looking at it, it doesn't sound good. Like normally like you can kind of have a pretty good idea just by looking at a speaker, like. You know, even if you don't know the crossover, you can say, well, at least the baffle makes sense. But with some of their products out there, man, they've got like the tweeter buried in like a half an inch or an inch, and it's just a step stair into the tweeter. There's no waveguide. It's the dumbest looking damn design I've ever seen. But maybe the other ones are good. That's just one particular one that I know of. But I'm looking at it, I'm like, there's no way that speaker sounds good. And then you got these bozos being like, oh, these speakers sound fantastic. I'm like, did you charge $100 or $1,000 to say that? Like, because I'm pretty sure you're full of shit right now. But
I charged because I had to lift those up, and I made a video, but I didn't review them.
But yeah, right.
I made the video. I'm like, I'll make you a video. I'll do some nice looking stuff, because that's, imagine having to carry this like metal thing. I'm like sweating, you know, possibly going to injure myself. And I just said, I don't really want to review these. Like,
That's what I was going to say. What if you drop it or something?
Yeah.
That's like another thing, floor. Yeah.
Well, if it's metal, it'll probably break your floor.
The original ones, let me see if they...
They had some at Axpona. I didn't get to hear them. I saw them, and they looked like they were a step up in design. Like, they didn't look as bad as the ones that you... I guess you didn't review them, but you showed me, right? I know which ones you're talking about.
Yeah, here they are. Look, I made this video. And they have this thing where you put this whole thing on three like balls for some reason. I'm like, okay, look.
All right.
You guys see that?
Yeah.
It's a big old metal speaker.
Good God, why do they do that?
Yeah.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Hold on, is it beveled? Yeah. If it's beveled, maybe. Maybe.
It's beveled,
maybe.
They have a new one. They have a new one that actually looks like it kind of has a waveguide thing. So hopefully they're changing things up. Well, I never count anybody out, you know. If they've learned some new things, that's good. It's a good thing.
I'll probably get an email from one of their fans, or they'll be like, why are you saying bad stuff? I'm like, oh, I'm just looking at it, and it's a diffraction nightmare. I can tell by just looking at it, but
they did learn something. They're moving over from metal to stainless steel. Ding!
Even better.
These are the ones that were, I kind of thought, like, if you saw these, you'd be like, ooh. And other people, too. Like,
the ones they I'm had these of.
Small ones.
It'll yeah, be the Cybertruck of speakers.
You know, look at that.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. And I have seen the measurements. And listen, I'm not saying that measurements should replace listening. But when you see measurements that look that bad, and I see why by looking at the speaker, I'm pretty sure it's not going to sound good. So, whatever.
Yeah. You know, it'd be awesome is if they put specs on here. That would be like graphs. That'd be cool. I'd respect that even. I'd respect that. They're like, yeah, well, here are the graphs. That's how it measures. Like, cool.
All right. Well, that's fair. And look, if you want to buy it because of the looks are maybe more important to you than the sound of it. I was speaking with somebody this at Expona, and he was saying, like, you know, he dude's flush with cash, right? And he said, he just straight up told me, he's like, look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, I'm trying to paraphrase here, but basically, at some point, I care more about the looks than I do about the sound. He's like, as long as it doesn't sound terrible, I don't really care.
He'll make there some sort of compromise for the looks.
Yeah, he's like, I put more emphasis on looks as long as it doesn't sound. He's like, if it sounds terrible, then obviously I'm not buying it. But if it's between like a speaker that looks fantastic but sounds like all right and a speaker that looks all right but sounds fantastic, he's going to go with the one that looks better. And I said, well, I mean, at least you know what you're doing. You know, like that's fair.
And for the Monacoustics guys, I know them. So if you want to respond in the comments, it's free. You don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
You can respond and tell me why I'm wrong and what we're missing. Completely free.
I'm not wrong, by the way. I know I'm not. I know it's got all sorts of diffraction issues because I've seen other measurements, but whatever.
Yeah. You mentioned that the TAD speaker that they're going to be showing them somewhere in June.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but I don't think it matters. I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter. Okay. But yeah, I think they said that they had an event. I don't know if it was like an Expona type thing or if it's something that they're doing internally. I don't recall that. I can.
Those speakers aren't new, though, right?
Oh, it might be the show.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It might be.
Just trying to transition.
Don't bank on that because I would have to find that email. But yeah, that was kind of what they were saying was like, hey, yeah, we can get this to you. Do you think you can have them back to us? I think by June. And I was like, yes, I could do that.
So
super cool.
I got a room. We got a room for the show. Going to be showing off.
The compact reference ones will be needed for the show in June. Sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just found the email. So yeah, they'll be there. So it sounds like the exact ones that I'm going to be reviewing are going to be the ones that are, oh my God, now I'm nervous.
No, you better not fuck them up, Aaron.
Oh, my God. Now I'm nervous. For real.
Don't poke in a tweeter, dude.
Oh. All right. Well, I quit. I'm just going to take these and those casts.
Careful putting on the Clipple. Don't scratch them. Don't get any fingerprints.
Dude, I'll be using white gloves.
Dude,
Speaking of which, when these manufacturers, I know I'm talking a lot, but I'm excited. So yeah, when these manufacturers send you guys these nice speakers and they come with the white gloves in them, I'm always thinking, like, why do you send me these gloves that feel like they're coated in Teflon? Because as soon as I try to take the speaker out, it's like slipping all over the place. Send me one with those little grip fingers on them or something.
It's usually for the speakers that are heavy and they have a gloss finish.
Yeah.
And the problem is it makes them more slippery.
Dude, it's scary. Like, I'm going to use my hands. Yeah. I'm not putting those gloves on. I'll let y'all rebuff them when they come back.
So we're going to be doing the show.
Yes.
And we have a room right next to, I think what they told me was right next to SVS and RSL.
Yeah.
Woo! So I think they put all the home theater, like guys who are going to make a lot of noise. Like, you guys stay over there.
You're not going to be fighting.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, so if you guys are going to be in Orange County?
Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa.
And when is that?
June 7, 8, 9.
Oh, crap. I was going to say, man, I should try to make that, but my daughter and I, we're going to the beach that same week. Okay. So.
Hey, we got a beach in Cali, bro. Bring her, bro. Too.
I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. Coast of Mesa.
That should be fun. That should be fun.
Yeah, you guys will have a good time though. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna be. See. It's not gonna be like Expona though, Aaron, where we were just walking around. We're gonna be stationary in our little room, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
We're gonna like crank it so like SBS is gonna be like, what the hell was that? You know.
Yeah, we're gonna have a competition. Base competition. Yeah.
I still.
Oh, dude, we should have a base off.
What subs are y'all bringing?
SBS.
I was gonna say, yeah, you should ask SBS if you can borrow some of their subs.
I'm down for any of them. Like, I'm down to rock the SBS ones, RSL ones, the ELAC ones. Yeah. I just want them to be good, capable subs. And yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of the other guys are running subs. In this show,
yeah, probably not a whole lot. It's a two-channel show, essentially.
Yeah. Well, the idea is that I know that a lot of two-channel guys don't like DSP, so we actually get a full-page ad or something like that. But I think I'm gonna write on the ad just like, "Yeah, you don't like DSP? You're right, because most of it is not very good. It does sound worse, but come check out our room and see if you like it."
You should do that.
Because I feel like if I can get them to like the way that DSP sounds, that's a win.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Anyway. Definitely. That's all I got. What else? What kind of questions we got here, too?
You don't got no questions.
Nobody. Yeah, we're going to be setting up a 7.1.4.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably like three subs. Probably want to do three subs.
What speakers are y'all using yet? Have y'all figured that out yet?
So, because the Magic Beans app, really, I can only EQ the speaker as good as the directivity allows.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't want to ask for some speakers from other companies where I didn't know those things, because it'd make my app look worse.
Right. Oh, I hear you.
I'm bringing the Arendelle 1723, like the little bookshelf speakers. I have some of those.
Yeah.
Not the towers.
Yeah. That'd be tough lugging those around.
Yeah, I think those are going to be good. I think they EQ well.
Yeah.
I actually like the bookshelf better than the towers.
So are you going to be using all of those speakers for all seven, nine channels, I guess?
Is that what I mean? Seven ear level channels. So yeah. Center is that one, that monitor one.
Yeah.
MTM one. And then the left and right will be the bookshelf. And then the surrounds, I have those tri-pole surrounds I could bring, or I have a bunch of height speakers that I thought might be a good idea for a surround,
mm-hmm.
because they're actually huge surrounds. They're like pretty much bookshelf speakers, just with an angle. And I figured a lot of times people are standing in those things. Like sometimes people don't want to sit down.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like you'll see them standing around, and I'm like, oh, maybe I can, maybe that can work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then three subs would be good.
And then we're going to do the speaker on a sticks for the height channels.
Yeah, and just kind of show off like how the spatial toolkit works, you know, just to give them an idea. Oh, look at this is how it sounds when it goes over here. And I'm wondering if they've ever heard like good Atmos music. You know, I feel like a lot of audiophiles don't like Atmos.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, I wonder if we remixed, like just for a joke, take some of those tracks that they always play,
mm-hmm.
and then remix it in Atmos. You know. That might be interesting.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Just make sure that it's not Diana Krall.
I knew you could say it. I knew it.
Where that one, I don't remember who it was last week or maybe the week before, commented like, wow, the hate for Diana Krall. It's like, we don't hate Diana. It's just that when you go to these shows, that's pretty much what you hear. And kind of which old is, after a while.
Which is why I know Aaron gave me all kinds of hate for my 30-minute long video, but... like this is the kind of weird stuff that only happens to me while I'm by myself, because Karch and his people were with me, his friend and his kid, and I'm like, they're like, what are you gonna do? I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go back over to Focal. I want to see if they'll play some of my stuff. And the next thing you know, they take off, and you know, they run the demo at 3 p.m. and then the Ian guy's like, yeah, he's like, you know, signaling. He's like, just wait. And I'm in that front row center with my binaural microphones on. And sure enough, everybody's like, what was that first track? I'm like, oh, that was the one I wanted to hear on the six, you know, $300,000 speakers. And then they started into all this stuff. He's like, actually, this is fun. Let's get into some stuff we don't normally play. And the whole, like, next, like, 30, 40 minutes was all the shit that nobody else heard. So, if you haven't seen that video, go check it out. It's pretty awesome. And it was great to hear something other than, like, smooth jazz or ratchets. Although they did play that again. On those big speakers. You know?
Yeah. That's yeah, me. I only gave you grief for it because you teased me about my videos being long. I opened it up. I was like, 33 minutes? Man, I ain't got time for all that.
It's just listening to music, dude. You got time for that.
Yeah.
We got a question from Marv here. He says, I've measured the RP 1400 SW 14-inch in the same location where the PB 2000 Pro used to be. Shocking how it outperforms the SVS below 20 hertz, considering the lower wattage amp.
Maybe it's because of a bigger box, right?
The box size makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah, it may just be tuned lower, too.
Yeah.
And is it the same volume? Well, I was going to say, you know, you run into things like limiters and stuff like that, too. So,
yeah. I'm interested, though.
But, yeah, it could be tuning. Well, I guess probably is tuning, right? Box size and enclosure tuning frequency.
Let's see. Van says, I'll throw out a question. He says, does one need to be concerned about reflection points from ceiling Atmos speakers?
I have no idea.
Concerned.
I don't know. I guess that's one of Atmos speakers, right?
Depends. So typically you want to avoid certain effects. He says, should you be concerned about reflection points from ceiling Atmos speakers? Yeah, I would say from my experience, you don't want it to be on the ceiling and near a sidewall. Right? Like having that sort of thing can cause different cancellations. I don't know that I would recommend ever to I'll put some treatment here to avoid this reflection unless you know exactly what you're trying to absorb. In that case where, you know, let's say if you have it on the ceiling and a sidewall, you might want to try some treatment, but it would look weird probably, right? They have like a small absorber that you can put up there. I don't know. I think that a lot of times you don't have to worry so much about those height speakers. You know, the precision above our head is not great anyway. So, yeah, that's my answer. Reed asks, do they do Atmos surround trailers anywhere?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
That's it. That's your video, Tim. You know how he cuts these up? That's just the video.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think so. Done. All right, cool, guys. I like that sound a lot. Auto insurance.
Let's see. Reverend Slip says, if you have sidewall reflections, it can screw the imaging, but you generally just aim away from the sidewall anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, Billie Eilish does have good Atmos content. I mean, Atmos trailer are available. No, I think Ohm Audio. I think they mean movie trailers in Atmos.
Yeah.
Unless that's what you're talking about. I think Atmos trailer sounds like an Atmos demo from Dolby or something.
Yeah.
What is this? Time Runner 414 says, thank you, Joe, for Magic Beans app. Took my home theater to another level of enjoyment. You're welcome.
Nice.
Clip that.
That's a good kind of feedback, man.
Yeah. So we're finding an issue actually with Odyssey MultiQX, and hopefully they fix it. But you know how in other countries they use a period instead of a comma?
Oh yeah.
So you go and import these comma separated text files, and the graph is all weird. I was like, what the heck? What is that? And it turns out like you have to change some settings in Windows to say that, you know, English or whatever. But I think it's really something that they need to fix on their end.
Hmm.
It's crazy. Funny. Anything else? Ooh. What is Tim saying here? Demos from Dolby and THX are here. Demolandia.
Oh, yeah. Demolandia, yeah.
Any other questions here?
Yeah. Hold up.
Yeah.
All right. I got this this Fozzy little speaker switcher thing.
Okay, I'm looking at the one I have. It looks like a newer version of mine, yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of cool. It's orange. I wish somebody, one of my patrons made the same comment, but I wish that it came with like RGB, like inputs or something, you know, like you could change the color. Uh-huh. I don't know. I used to have a Macintosh one, a Car Audio Macintosh one. And I remember I gutted that thing out and took the little bulbs out of it and replaced them with blue LEDs and made it look like really cool. That was kind of neat. And the other thing too, is that this isn't calibrated for output. So it's in watts, right? But you have to, the little dial. So when you're playing music, you'll have to use that dial to set the meters at the right wattage. So I made a little quick video about it because I think it's kind of fun to play around with stuff like that. But I think that's the only real drawback to it that I found. It does seem to consume a little bit of power, I guess is the word I'm looking for here. Like if I put 100 watts into it, or not 100 watts into it. Yeah, I'll do that. 100 watts into it, then I might get like 98 watts out or something. And So I don't know 100% that that's not an effect of maybe the cabling that I'm using, but I cannot imagine for the life of me that it is. I retested it a few different times and still got the same result. Like, so it seems like internally there's some resistance and it's kind of like consuming a little bit of that power, I guess.
Does it still change the response at all?
No. So it doesn't change the response. It just seems like it consumes a little bit of that output. But it is pretty neat, you know. $150, and it's in the. When I saw the picture of it, honestly, I thought it was going to be like really cheap and cheesy, but it's, you can see it's kind of large, right? Like it's not a really small piece. But you can do amplifier switching and speaker switching, so you can do AB amplifier or AB speaker, and it comes with a remote. I have that somewhere.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Does the thing flash whenever you change something?
Yeah, it has like little output. Little buttons on it, so let me grab it real fast and show you.
Because I noticed when I was changing the settings on there, like the whole thing would kind of flash. I have an older version of that.
No, I'm not seeing that. But so it does have little indicators, right? That say like I'm on channel or speaker one or two or whatever, A and B. Is that amplifier? Yeah, amplifier A B speaker one two. I don't know, man. I kind of dig it. It's kind of cool. I don't know how many people are going to be psyched to see me review something like this, but I still think it's kind of cool.
This is an old one. It's all dusty.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? Is that one? Who makes that one?
This one's Fozzy, Fosi.
This one's
Fozzy Bear.
Audio.
Duke?
Yeah, Duke.
D-O-U-K. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's kind of normal for them to, like I said, maybe take some of that power, but...
That's cool.
I don't know. I'm kind of like...
I've used a cheap AB switcher before.
Yeah.
Yeah. At my event, just to like quickly switch between two, let people kind of compare.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It's fun. I think stuff like that is neat, adds a little bit of aesthetic to your setup. I mean, if you're into that kind of stuff, dude,
you
rock it.
Do you think the tube and this is a little too much? That's too much light?
Nah.
No, I both think together.
That would probably be all right, actually. That might be kind of cool.
Yeah. Let's see here. I did a poll recently. I did two polls. One is, if you use the same target curve on two different systems, will that guarantee a more similar listening experience? Why or why not? I had a tough time kind of like asking that a certain way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you got to get it all in the question before somebody says, well.
Yeah. Right. And assume that the two systems are using different speakers at different listening distance and in different rooms. And it looks like my viewers are, you know, most of them said no. 75% said no, it won't sound the same. But so I was like, oh, that's cool. Then I thought maybe I should have put an I don't know. Right? Yeah. Because if you're not sure, you might just guess.
That's true.
So I did another one and it says poll number two, if you use a flat target curve that gives you a flat measured response at a typical listening distance, let's say 9 feet from the speaker, will that give you the most neutral, accurate listening experience? Explain why or why not in the comments. So 18% said yes, it will. 50% said no. 31% said I don't know.
Feel sorry for the people who answered yes, because you're about to school.
Well, that's an upcoming video I'm going to make. I'm talking about target curves. Trying to make it easy. That. You know those YouTube channels that like show demonstrations. They have animations.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And hopefully I can show it in a very simple way. Like, okay, this is why that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Just make sure you let them know what a target actually
means. Uh-oh.
I'm not a pot stirrer, I swear. I swear.
View meters, they got to generate enough current across the meter resistor to move it full scale. So a small drop is expected.
Okay. I'm cool with that then.
What else?
I don't know if I like that answer, actually. I changed my mind. I'm not cool with that. But okay.
I'm just glad. If it doesn't change the frequency response, that's good.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. So that's, to me, that was a more important part of it. And then just trying to give like a very quick, I basically said, without, because I feel like I probably need to make a separate video if I was going to explain how to really set it up. But I was just saying, you know, grab you a cheap multimeter, measure the resistance of your speakers, and then measure the voltage coming out of this thing, and then go to this website, type in those two things, and then use that to set the power dial. And I thought that's good enough, right? It's not perfect, but it's good enough.
Yeah.
Good night, all.
Good what? Night.
Don't go to sleep yet.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind cutting out a little bit early. I'm not feeling that well.
No, I hear you, man.
I'm trying, man.
I hear you.
My nose is all over the place.
We'll call it quits at 9. We'll run till 9.
Yeah.
Any other questions? You got anything?
Let's see. For all you Yamaha users out there, you little Wipehousers.
Wipehousers.
I got a question for you guys. Do you guys use Surround AI? Paul, do you use Surround AI? Did you ever hear about this? Aaron, you probably didn't, right?
No. Definitely not me.
So I remember when I interviewed them at the CDM 2018. Coincidentally, that's how Joe and I met.
That's cool.
Yeah. CDM videos. They were debuting this new thing, Surround AI, right? Because they just have to have something new to sell you something new, you know, in the next, like, couple of years. And I found out. I have it. Sounds like Aura 3D, basically. So I found out that it's doing something very silly to the audio. And then, you know, I have a video. Hopefully I can edit it when I get back, get to this hotel over here. But, only the 3070 and pre-pro have it. Oh, dude, there's a whole lot more that have it now, because this is the A8A, and I believe the A2A, A4A, A6A have it as like standard. But anyway, I started using the Yamaha, Paul, and you know what? It's not that bad. It's not that bad if you don't mind both of the front knobs being knocked off. And you don't use Wipeout. If you don't use Wipeout, you're straight. I did a quick level match with the spatial toolkit, and I was actually surprised. I was just like, oh, I listened to a few things, and I was just, until I did listen to my voice on the 514 call out, and I was like, something is strange is happening with these high channels. Watch your mouth out. Yeah, yeah, not that bad. Not that bad. But it's because I'm not using Wipeout. So,
Wipeout.
Yeah.
Why not use it? What if it's good? Huh? What if it's good?
I'll definitely do it. Oh, so hold on. Some BMW's on my ass over here. Hold on. I'll definitely like run a Wipeout on it in that room. And then I got to download the Magic Beans, the new one, and rock that. Oh. But yeah.
Yeah.
Just use the single tone knob. It'll do. Wipeout. Yes.
Wipeout.
That's great.
We'll see.
I love that, Jeremy.
I'm curious to see how well it works out of the box, Wipeout, and also with Magic Beans. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do like a binaural recording in that space there. It's a little weird, you know, because the wall's like right at the,
yeah.
Right at the back question. Wall there. Yeah. So
What's your take on Dolly Oberon 3 speakers? Thanks in advance. I've never reviewed those. Have you? Any Dolly stuff?
Yeah, I've never heard them.
That's kind of crazy, though. I think the U.S. distributor is supposed to be the guys who do NAD.
Really?
Yeah, all the Lenbrook stuff, yeah.
Lenbrook, that's it. I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I might check into that one then.
They look cool.
The Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
No,
I think they're popular over there in Europe.
Hey, Aaron, they had a setup for Dolly, but it was over by your little sex chair.
Yeah, I saw that, actually. I did see that.
That is, like, the worst place to, like, give a demo, too.
Yeah, there was, like, a wall right behind them, too, I think.
There was a wall right behind the listener, and then...
Yeah.
And then it was, like, free air open, like, and then, like, hard surface ground, like, stone or whatever.
Yeah, it didn't seem like the ideal setup. Yeah.
Yeah, which is why I really liked the Focal Utopias. We're kind of like at Audio Advice, we're kind of like in the same kind of an area at that Sheraton. So like, I like the fact that they actually had a big ass room. That was pretty dope. Finally got to hear those in person properly.
Dude, those speakers are huge.
Good show. Good show. What did that guy say? If you can take one, you're good.
He said, if you can carry them out of here by yourself, then you can have them. So that's why I'm like, I may have to contact that Mark Rober guy on YouTube. And like, I got a challenge for us. Help me out with this. Or that Getting Smarter Every Day dude who apparently lives like near me. And my friend is a good friend of his as well. So,
oh, cool. That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cool. That's kind of a video I'd like to make for the target curves, you know, like how they really spend some time to make it easy for people to understand.
Yeah, I wish I knew how to do that kind of stuff, like the video editing to make graphics, animation, and all that. It would be helpful when you're trying to teach something.
I might draw some stick figures. I don't know.
Oh my god! Speaking of drawing on a board, we were having Joe and Charles Sprinkle were going back and forth about this thing. So he's just he walks over to the board and then we like follow and he's just like, this is the thing, and this is where I cut it off.
That's official. If you draw on the board, then you know that's for sure official.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a real thing.
Class is in session.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's on the board. All right. Well, we're up at an hour right now. Maybe we should – I need to get some rest. I'm going to pop into the after show, though. Still, if you're interested in joining, crew.dailyhifi.com. What else we got here? Audio only version at anchor.fm/dailyhifi. Anything else?
I don't think so.
There's some start questions.
Start questions? Any start questions? Let's see. Any ETA on the iPhone version of True Target? I know you guys are asking. I'm gonna announce it once it's on there because it's It's really a lot of hoops to jump through. Like you got to approve this email, then you got to do this, and then you got to call them. Like, didn't I just approve it?
You got to call.
What do I have to do? I mean, now I got to call too. Crazy.
Yeah.
A bit much.
Yeah, I definitely want it working, but it works. I have it on my iPad. It's just about getting it on the App Store.
Yeah.
That's it. Anything else, Chana? You want to take us out?
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out. This is the Daily Hi-Fi Podcast. We do this every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern. And if you, I can't read anything, Joe. This is all way too small.
It's okay.
For the banner. So, yeah. For those of you watching on the replay, make sure you come and watch the live show, get your questions answered, and join the fun. On behalf of myself, Aaron, and Joe, have a good night.
See you guys.
Later, y'all.